She hadn't said a word. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
All right.
I saw we.
Hurt my feelings.
I know it didn't.
All right. Real quickly here. Good to be here today. Good to be in service of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all for coming and participating and trying to about get this thing over with and
send it to the desert,
get on the road
underneath the dirt.
So as far as it can go.
In the desert.
We're going to get rid of this thing. We're going to leave it.
The thing of it is, it ain't went that way that much. Out to the desert.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah, well, dry air and all that, you know. All right, so we were talking last Sunday about the Laodicean church age. Now, the Laodicean church age is the last church age. I think some more Nile and them are coming in. So the Laodicean church age, the prophet of God tells us, is the worst church age of all of them because everybody thinks they're right. I am rich, increased with goods, I have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, and don't know it. In other words, paraphrasing what Brother Brown said, that there's a group of people that this is the most religious time, supposedly, the best illumination of revelation. This is the greatest hour of all the church ages because they've all went through the different stages, and we've been through all the different stages, and then we've come with Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. And then we were justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost in a dip, like we were talking about last Sunday, about the half tribe of Manasseh was on this side of Jordan and half of it went across on the other side of Jordan, which means that the Holy Ghost, there's more to the Holy Ghost than just receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and that's what it's good. The days we come through that Brother Brown sent was a prophet, and God sent us a prophet, and God sent us a prophet to tell us. Well, what did he tell us? Okay? He told us how to get back to this church age right here. But then you've got to plus it and give it more to Revelation 10:7 in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he begins to sound the mystery of God should be finished. They didn't have the mystery. They had part of the mystery. You and I, being part of this seventh church age, number seven is completion. So this completes the mystery. Alright, so that's why that the prophet told us there was a lot of light in these first ages. It went out almost completely. That's why they call it the Dark Ages. And then you see two sprigs, and then you see a shoot, and then you see the shuck, but that's really not the seed. The seed's in there. All my corn and plant that we planted and all the other things, that every bit of the fruit that we're going to harvest, you can't harvest one speck of it at this moment. But if you'd have never planted it, and you just look out there and you see this barren field,
but see, that's the problem. The life that's going to become...
Yes, but the analogy I want to show you is you're like a farmer that walks out into the field and he's planted nothing. Zero. And he walks out in the field, and 2 months later he goes, well, now I'm going to get corn. 3 months later, I've got corn coming up, and I'm going to harvest my corn. And it's just, you look out there, and it's just a barren field. Well, that's what it's talking about. You say, I am rich. You say that you're increased with goods, that you're going to get this bountiful harvest. And you walk out in the field, and you go, where's the... did you? No, I didn't plant nothing, but are we going to get a harvest? That's what the whole problem is now. When I say denominational world, I don't mean them out there. I mean the ideas that we have. The denominational ideas we have are not seed. They might be seed, but they're weed seed. They're not grain. They're weeds. Because there's going to be weeds will come up. Because weeds are seed. A seed's going to come out of the ground.
They come up first.
They come up. Yeah, we know that. Jim does. Well, we have to cut them down. We can't live with, well, cut them down with the hoe. Jim said yesterday we were hoeing corn and there was a lot of weeds. And she said, can't we just use this for salad or something? Or use this for, can't we just let this grow? And it's green and it looks, look, it's a plant. But that's the same thing I was thinking about for today. It's got life in it, but it has no purpose. Except to be cut down, or to be, or they're not going to be harvested. They're going to be cut down and burnt. But what we planted a month or so ago, corn's already up this high. All the different things are already up. Might get some squash in the next week or two. But praise the Lord, thousands of them.
What did you say yesterday? 50 hills of squash.
50 hills. We've got a jubilee of squash.
Who did that?
Jubilee.
I'm not saying
it. I don't know who did.
Good Lord.
The
there.
Situation we had. Listen, just
I
for
love
real
squash,
quick.
By the way.
Well, you can have plenty. But the situation we had was, is my mother threw some squash up in the garden last year, and it went to seed. Well, when it come up, it come up like a bush. So I took and cut them and replanted them in different places, so we come up with 50. And we'd already bought 20 plants, and Lisa then planted some out of seed, so we got a jubilee of squash.
Well,
but anyway,
this is supposed to be a family thing.
Yeah, it's a family thing. So, but now it's become a community thing.
A lot more for the whole family.
Now it'll be for the church and everybody.
The church family.
But back to my point, seed was planted. I know that. I'm the sower of the seed. Now, I'm not the Son of Man, but the Son of Man is the one that sowed the seed. And He knew, I know what's in every one of those rows because I planted it. The Bible tells us that, Revelation 10:7, that there's going to be a voice of the seventh angel messenger that's going to bring us to fruition. Not the two shoots, not the stalk. We've got corn up some about this high. Every ear of corn is in that. Life is in it, but it's not the corn. It's not the seed. We've got to get back to seed. Right? The Bible says the corn of wheat falls in the ground and dies. It abides alone. But when it comes up, it brings forth what? Much fruit. So you and I have come to a place, excuse me, that I want everybody to understand. It's wonderful to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's wonderful to be baptized. It's wonderful to do all these things. It's wonderful to listen to tapes and all these different things. But if you're not born again, you're weed seed. Your cucumbers, you're going to be cut down. You may look good, you may look nice, but now I'm telling you, like right now, in our garden, you have to be careful because, as Jim, we were looking at yesterday, the corn and grass at this high looks exactly the same almost. You have to look at the characteristics, but the characteristics, get it, of corn,
yeah,
is it rolls. The leaves roll. When grass starts growing, the leaves are like this. So if you see it rolling, that's a corn seed, and you hoe around it. Well, that's what God's doing now. He knows whose seed, but we don't yet. But when all the weeds get pulled out of the way, you can see the big rows of corn, and all you see is corn. Well, that's what God's done. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment paid. When we get done in about 2 months from now, we're going to have a lot of corn, we're going to have a lot of beans, we're going to have a lot of squash, zucchini,
maters.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of tomatoes too. But you see, that's potential. Look, all this is potential. It was corn seed right here. It was corn seed in every one of these. But it only got to a certain place that God said, hey, I'm happy. If them two shoots don't ever get out of the ground, you get no crop. So the two shoots had to come out of the ground under the Luther, real simple, two shoots coming up like this. Wesley, the stalk starts growing. Pentecost is the husk that looks kind of like the wheat. But right inside of it is where the life is. That's the life that comes from what? Seed to here. And that's okay. To be shuck, because shuck protects the seed. But remember, everything at the end of our process of crop gathering, especially with wheat, now we don't have wheat planted, but we have other things. We like to gather them when they're alive, but if we were wheat farmers, you have to wait till that thing completely dies. It looks the most dead, like right now. It looks the most dead it's ever been. But inside of there, that one wheat, that's got all the life in it. Now, all the life and energy of that plant has went into that seed. Not that we don't need it, but we don't need this anymore. You don't.
We have the life.
We have the life. We don't have the stalk and the. Now we needed it. Don't get me wrong. We need all that. That's why I'm talking about upstairs, the journey of a believer. You got to have that journey. Two shoots, the journey of the stalk, the journey of the husk that comes out, but inside that is you. The journey of a believer. And thank God that we can look at a simple plant and see your journey in life as a Christian. The life in the seed, it dies. Okay? The seed actually dies. What it does is if you read in biology or done those things, looked at them, the seed actually puffs up with water and swells. But when it cracks open, that releases the life. Okay? So Jesus Christ had to be the corn of wheat that went in the ground, that died, soaked up the water, he was the Word, and then when he come forth on the day of Pentecost, that was the life, came back into the believer so that he can have a more of a crop. That's what he was looking for. So Brother Brown didn't come to bring us a new way to get born again, is what I'm saying. This end time messenger down over here didn't come to bring us anything different, anything that's not in the Bible. He couldn't have. He can't be a word prophet and bring something different. But he did bring us what? He brought us the complete love letter. Not just pieces and parts of it. Pieces and parts of it are okay.
He restored.
Yeah. Well, now, hold on. But he restored, but that's not all. He restored us back to what? Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No eternal hell. The way we dress and act and the sanctification on steroids is what I call it. Sanctification on steroids. Because sanctification back in, even at Pentecost, when Pentecost first started coming in, they had short hair. They started wearing pants and different things on into their journey. But God had to send a prophet to write every bit of that, right, R-I-G-H-T, to make it right. All right. He brought, in other words, he brought the plant back up, cleaned all the weeds out from around it. But now, that's okay because you've got a plant. But where's your harvest? The prophet of God was not sent to bring us a new birth. He was sent to bring us a new birth from according to Malachi 4, which meant that it wasn't a new birth different from the rest of these, but it took you on to perfection of a statue of a perfect man. This was never taught in the ages. Now sure, it was taught here because Peter wrote about it. But remember, it went away. Corn of wheat died. Went in the ground at Nicaea, the dark ages. But it come back two shoots, stalk, tassel. Then we got over here where we are is the full ear of corn, just like the seed that was put in the ground.
Like Pop's been preaching, it's not just that corn that you can eat. You got to wait for it to get hard.
Right.
And then you can plant it again.
You can replant it. So that's what we're doing is we're going through maybe, as the world may see it, a dry time for Christianity. I want to say again, I'm glad that at least President Trump had enough gumption about himself to walk out there and tell everybody, if y'all can open abortion clinics and if y'all can have your liquor stores open, said, you need to open churches. Well, he said, places of worship. So, thank God for that, that he's at least got some sense about him to do that. But
he wanted it done this weekend.
Do I? Yes, this weekend. It's going to get... We're okay. We're doing what we should do, so we're fine. We're doing... But what I'm saying is, the world may look at it and say, boy, this is a dark time. But to me, I was thinking about this yesterday, this time now is the time I told you about, of a revival. You were thinking that it was going to fill the churches up, and we was going to have a choir, and we were going to have, you know, we were going to have shouting and speaking in tongues. That's not what I was preaching. A revival is what I say, an individual revival. Some are going to set up there. Some are never going to come back to church. And I don't mean just our church, but there's some people that's never going to come back. This always happens. But there'll be a group, and there's Nyla sitting there. And just for examples, Nyla and Zach, they have been baptized, and they've come into the Christian faith, and they've come closer to God. That's a revival. But it's individual. Because it may not catch on to me or somebody, but somebody is going to catch this thing and keep on going. Some are going to say, well, I think I can sit at home, or I think all I got to do is believe Brother Brown's a prophet. Satan believes Brother Brown's a prophet. He knows he is. Because he knows that there's only one God, but what does he teach us? A Trinity. Satan literally knows there's only one person he talks to.
That's right.
One. Not a Jesus over here and a Holy Ghost dove over here. No. The devil knows there's one God. And he talks to him all the time. But he turns and gives us a three-God concept. A Father, a Son, and the Holy Ghost.
And laughs when people
come. And laughs. Oh, sure he does. Why? That's deceiving. That's the deceiving part. The deceiving part is to walk down the street with not a stitch of clothes on and think you're fully dressed. That's what the world thinks. That's what even the denominations, and you say, well, I ain't talking about dress, what you got on. I'm talking about your religion. Because the Bible tells us, when you look up that word religion, it means covering, and that's what Adam and Eve did. They didn't go back to God with no clothes on. They talked to God with no clothes on forever. But something happened in their mind and in their consciousness that made them aware that they were naked. So they went and made fig leaves, which is a covering, which was they created a religion in the Garden of Eden. And that's what you say, well, are you a Christian? Brother Brown, many times you ask, are you a Christian? I'm Baptist. That's a covering. That's a religion. I'm Methodist. I'm Pentecost. I'm Brownite. I go to Lulu. That's a religious covering. We need to break out of that and buy this gold, the Word of God, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, what? Purity. Live a pure life. Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then go on. That thou mayest be clothed. In other words, if you're naked and realize it, that's okay. Even if you literally were naked, somebody said, and you got this revelation that you were, and then you went and put on clothes, what greater revelation would there be? Same thing with the Bible, same thing with the prophet's message. You've been walking around naked for years. What? Brother Brown was a prophet. It's a parakeet. Brother Brown was a prophet. Brother Brown was a prophet. I had a preacher say one time he was a message parakeet. I thought, oh Lord. God don't want a parakeet. Let me finish my point. God don't want a parakeet. He wants sons and daughters of God. He wants somebody that's what? White raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Right? What?
Why does it say buy? Sorry? I've always wondered that. Why I can't fully give you buy.
Buy of me gold? Purchase. What is a purchase?
Blood.
Purchase possession. How are you going to get clear? How are you going to get gold? You're going to buy it by what? Living it. You're going to buy it by what? Purchasing, coming to church, and living the right life. And we can look that word if you want to in Strong's. And it says to purchase, to redeem.
Okay. All right.
Buy or sell. All right? So you went out and you bought it by the washing of the water of the Word. How do you find gold?
Dig.
Not exactly.
Wash.
You do not.
You wash.
Wash it with water. You send this big stream of water down through this. They used to cut the mountains in Dahlonega. That's why you go up that long highway in Dahlonega. Long time ago, I remember when I first started working at J&G in 1987, you could see a cut. And that cut was where they got on top of the mountain with a big old jet of water. And they just let the water go all the way down. Well, what happened was all the trash and all the mud went down to the bottom of the mountain, and the gold is so much heavy, it stays there. So there was just this, well, that's the same thing with the washing of the water of the Word. Most of your gold is found in what? Creeks and rivers and water. It's always water associated with gold. So if you're that little gold nugget, you got to be washed by the water of the Word. You're always, I mean, it's there. You just got to uncover it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. See, so there is a way out. You can repent Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Remember, he's been put out of the church by the denominations, by your ideas and my ideas. But all you got to do is open the door. Open the door and let him in. All right, let him into your heart. Let him into your everyday life. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup. Look how, though it be the darkest time, though it be the most deceiving time, this is the most intimate time God comes to His bride. The most intimate. Everything else, if you'll notice, it says you'll get a new heart and you'll get a new name and you'll get these different things. I'm going to come in and talk face to face. And then if you overcome, you're going to sit with me in, not on, in my throne. It's not you sitting beside. I don't want Jesus beside me. Satan has Jesus beside him. Talks to him all the time. But there's no way that Jesus can get inside Satan because he's already turned him down. But there is a way Jesus can get inside of you and sit down. That's why I said the intimacy in this last age being the darkest age. But if you'll overcome, if you'll keep going, keep asking God to give you revelation, He's going to grant to sit with me in my throne even as I overcome and I'm sitting down with my Father in His throne. Because you know what? He said, I and my Father are one. Brother Brown says when the bride, excuse me, begins to say, I and my Father are one. How can we do that? Because we're with Him in His throne, and then He sat down in the Father's throne. We, what? We're one. That's what Brother Dale's been preaching upstairs.
He says the ship is full of what?
Well, that's what will happen is people can't swallow this. People can't take that you are Jesus Christ in another form on the earth called a bride. Not another person. The same person. By not just the new birth, but by the new birth plus all these. And that the headstone is when you realize that what the headstone was who? The Son of Man. Not the Son of God. Son of God was the Spirit of God. It was the Holy Ghost that comes into you. But what did He come into you to do? Change you into God in human flesh. Called a bride. See, some people shake their head and go, there's no way you can do that. Well, there's the shuck. The shuck's going to dry up. It's going to look like it. It's a, look, it's a, it covers. Listen. If we would have had justification, sanctification, and then Brother Branham was to just come on the scene with the power and demonstration he had, people wouldn't take it. But God sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost with the gifts of healing and tongues and interpretation and trying to live right and doing the right thing. And then God sent a prophet to step on the scene and say, hey, you Pentecostals, you're great. I'm with you. But you stop. You stop. We're going forward. You stop. You said tongues is the evidence, and that's all it is. I can't go no further. Tongues is the evidence. Tongues, and you remember that. But Brother Brown said, my message has two parts. One, like you said, to restore back. But the second part is to reveal those seven thunders or the seven seals that will change your body. You've already been changed on the inside. Nyla went to the water Sunday, and she physically got a washing. But now God's going to have to do a spiritual washing by the water of the Word to let that gold come out and let us be changed in this thing. I baptized a lot of older people and they came back up older people. Why? Because it's not the time yet. It's the beginning of the journey. But if you walk on in newness of life, as we were reading in the Scripture, you walk in newness of life and God's going to give you the Holy Ghost plus. I like that. Holy Ghost plus. Because it's still the Holy Ghost. But listen, did this church age have, this is my point, hopefully, did this church age have the Holy Ghost? Just say yes. Yeah. Did this church age have the Holy Ghost? Did this have the Holy Ghost? Did this have the Holy Ghost? Did it have the Holy Ghost? Did it have the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost fell on these people. Doesn't matter. You can call them false if you want to, but they were true believers. The Holy Ghost fell on what they had. What they had was evidences of speaking in tongues and, hey, it's Bible. Can't take it out. And gifts of healing. But what they say, this is it. There's no more. We're done. Brother Ram said, no, you just getting started. In this age, a requirement is, like I said, everyone received the Holy Ghost, but who took a body change? Who is the alive and remain? No one. None of these people are alive and remain. They're all in the grave waiting on me and you. to come to a place right here of seven completion, then step over into the eighth day. The baptism of the Holy Ghost plus the change of this body. The change of this body is going to be because of the washing of the water of the Word. You're going to realize you're naked. You're going to realize you need more of God. You're going to realize you need more than what? Mom and Daddy says, hey, you know, it's okay, Brother Round, the prophet, you just believe that. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. You got to know Jesus Christ first. Repent and be baptized. You can't repent to Brother Brown. You can't repent because of Brother Brown. Like Aaron was preaching Wednesday night, did a good job. You take it back to Calvary. You take everything back to Jesus Christ. And then you come and say, okay, that Jesus that died on the cross right here, he's now inside of me in the fullness now. We've got more Word. We've got all the Word. We've got the mystery of God is being finished, which is, what is the great mystery? According to Colossians 1, it says the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we'll start with chapter 4 because look, and after this, and after all the church ages, Brother Brown said, there's when we take a rapture. A door was opened in heaven, and I was taken up hither. So the rapture takes place in our time. I believe we'll be able to see it. Let's go. I'm going to leave that one alone, I guess. I don't know if you need to be down here. Well, come on.
I'm walking with you. Come on.
Good
way.
Uh-huh, thank you. There we go.